this morning would simply be a normal question that we would ask, how are you doing? And instead of asking or answering very quick, oh, I'm doing well, I'm doing fine, I would really ask you, how are you doing? What is going on in your heart? What thoughts are really crossing your mind? Does this pandemic sometimes make you feel like a bad dream? Like it did for me this week, one morning when I woke up and I thought, wow, is this just a bad dream? No, it's not a bad dream. It is real. We live in a really interesting world that, as we have already mentioned, has never been before. But my question is, as we turn to the news, and some of you may have been those news junkies who just sit in front of TV and watch all the newest updates, my question is, how does it make you feel? Are you worried? Are you unsettled, restless, maybe even a little bit fearful what it would mean for you? Maybe you fear for your job. Maybe you already are laid off and you don't know how that, what impact that will have down the road. How are you dealing with the flood of bad news? Well, there's certainly different ways how we usually deal with situations like this. There's on one hand, willful ignorance. We just put our head into the sand and just pretend it doesn't exist and make life, you know, the way how we would like to create life. Or you find even defiance, you know, say, well, you don't tell me what to do. I go out when I want to go out. And I even find that sometimes, unfortunately, among our fellow brothers and sisters to say, well, we should have faith and we should not give in to this kind of spirit of fear. Yes, I agree. Not giving into the spirit of fear. But we are also not called to tempt God, like the devil tried with Jesus when he was standing up on the pinnacle and said, throw yourself down and see whether God comes and helps you. See, that is not the attitude with which in which we approach this kind of situation. So my question again is, where do you find peace in these times? What calms your soul? What nourishes your soul? How do you take care of your soul, of your inner being? See, the difference is when we talk about Christian faith is not that we live in a world that is not real. Christian faith is actually claiming and embracing the reality that we live in and then walking through this reality in faith. We are totally aware of the seriousness of the situation. We are fully aware of what the impact may be for our lives. But faith comes alive in the situation and that we are prevailing in those situations. Incidentally, we are living in the time of Lent. And in some form, in some weird form, we are actually forced to practice social fasting right now. We cannot come together, so we fast from that. And as we have highlighted several times during our normal Sunday services during this time, that this Lent time is a time of preparation. It is a time where we fast and where we withdraw from certain things that we normally do in order to prepare for the big event that is Easter. It's also a time of introspection where we look into ourselves, we look into our soul, we look into our heart, and we are willing to deal with what's going on there. Today, actually, for this Sunday, we have picked, way before this all happened, Psalm 23. As our text. And this is probably one of the most familiar texts of the Bible, one of them at least. And unfortunately, you will usually read this text when we have funerals, and that's we take refuge to this text. But this is so much richer, this psalm, than just reading it for funerals. I would suggest this is even the right psalm for the right time. It is an invitation for all those who read the psalm, who are dealing with this psalm. It is an invitation to live a life of sufficiency, a life where we do not lack anything. Because this is what David, who is supposedly the author of this psalm, says in the first lines of this psalm, the Lord is my shepherd, I have all that I need. And I wonder, can we say it in a time like this? Is this true? Well, I would suggest again, this is an invitation to enter into this kind of life right now. And the psalm may invite us to do that and to find ways how even in the midst of this pandemic and the fears that you personally fear and the situation that you may face at this time, in this unsettling time, that you may enter into this life of sufficiency, this life of of fullness that Jesus even mentioned when he talks about this in John 10:10, I've come to give you life and give it to the full. So before we go deeper into that, let us just read this psalm together, if you will, and if you have your Bibles with you, or if not, you may even know this psalm by heart. Let's just follow along with this text, and just I just want to share then some thoughts on this text. So here we go. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This morning, I would like to focus just on the first sentence of this psalm. And in the weeks to come, as we have several ways to communicate with you and to share with you, I might just highlight other aspects of this psalm. But today, as I said, it's just the first line of this psalm. And there's several questions that come to my mind as I was thinking of this psalm during this week and in the weeks before, and actually as I've done it as a practice to pray this psalm almost every day. So there is this question. So the Lord is my shepherd. Why can David say that? What makes him say that? How does he know that? How does he know that the Lord is my shepherd? And I would suggest at least one aspect of that, that I would say that this is actually a confession. It is a confession. David tries to tell us something about a life-altering decision that he made at some point in his life to choose the Lord as his shepherd. And let me say it right away. Every one of us, you and I, we all have a shepherd. We might not call it that way, and it might be a little bit awkward even when people ask you and say, hey, what makes you so calm, and why are you the way you are? And when you answer them, oh, the Lord is my shepherd, they may just think you're from a different planet. But coming back to the picture that is in this text, it is true that all of us have a shepherd. You and I, we all have a shepherd. We all have someone or something that we submit to and whom we follow. And here in this psalm, this is David's confession. The Lord is my shepherd. And as he unfolds this psalm and the thoughts of this psalm, he also tells us why. And again, I don't want to go into that this morning, but just highlight the first line and then take some thoughts and share some thoughts with you. So what is it that we need to learn? If this is our confession, the first thing I would say, and maybe the only thing I want to share today, is take care of your mind. Take care of what you think. That is the bottom line of what the psalm wants to tell us. Take care of what you think. The ultimate freedom that we have, that God has given us when he created us, is that we have the ability to choose where we put our mind on, what we think. You have that opportunity. You have the opportunity to do this, and you make those decisions every single day. When you turn your TV on every day to watch the news, that's your decision that you make to turn your mind on that news, onto the news, and to hear what's going on. And my question to that is, not that there's anything wrong with that, but does it calm your heart? Does it calm your soul? So David's challenge to us is that we take care of our heart. David, on a different occasion when he was turning over his reign to Solomon, his son, he said it to the leaders in those days, now devote your heart. In the First Chronicle 22:9, now devote your heart and soul to seeking God, the Lord your God. Devote your heart and your soul. Heart, by the way, is the same way that we can use mind. To devote your mind to turn and seek God. And my challenge to you is during these days, use your mind in these days to seek God. It is through your minds and through our minds that we are able to understand God's presence. We hear this so often as Christians, you know, that we want to live in the presence of God. But I ask, what is it? What is it? How do we enter that? And my suggestion is we enter into the presence of God with our minds. with focusing our minds on the presence of God, because God is present. We just don't make him presence. We hear ourselves praying sometimes, God, come and be present in our midst. But we also have to acknowledge that God is already there. It's us that have to prepare our minds to know that God is right there where we are. And if you look around with the people around us, especially in these times and in these days, you know that this is not at the forefront of their minds. In fact, if you would describe our culture, if you would describe humankind without God and without this kind of direction to God, you would need to say that the direction of our mind in this world is, first of all, our self-image, what we do and for ourselves, and fear. Self-preservation and fear. So if you would say that this preoccupation with ourselves is not true, then I would give you the proof that you would just go to the grocery aisles today and look at the stores and see how people have reacted to this crisis. It is a preoccupation with self, and out of that comes fear. And that is the prevalent framework of mind that people usually are in these times. How can I take care of myself? And the fear of the unknown, which makes us do the things that we are doing. And again, I'm not saying anything against being reasonable and taking care of ourselves. This is even what God provides in his word. But what I'm talking about is our general frame of mind. What is going on in our heads? Where do we find peace? Where do we find inner direction in this time of crisis? And again, God has given us this gift that we can change what we think about. And this challenge is that we focus our minds on God. And that is a struggle. It is a struggle because we are inundated with information right now that is negative, and one create in us a kind of fear. But in the middle of this struggle, to then make the decision to take our minds off of that and focus on God. Our culture, with the self-obsession and the fear that derives out of that, doesn't give the answer. It will not give you the answer. We need to stop looking at ourselves and look to God instead. This had led Christians at all times to heroic deeds. I could give you examples today, and we don't have the time, out of history, church history, how Christians, in times when pestilence was sweeping countries, how Christians have deliberately been acting differently, not because of defiance, but because of selflessness. How they have cared for the people that others have thrown out to the streets to die, and Christians stuck around and helped those who were dying. Christians have always done that because their mindset was not so much on self-preservation. Their mindset was on God, serving him, and being his missionary wherever they are. So we need to look to God. How do we do that? Well, one simple way of doing it and how God has ordained it is simply by the preaching of the gospel. Wow, that sounds so preachy, that sounds so biblical, but it is true that our faith is nourished by listening to God. That's how God has ordained it. And in fact, if you try it, that's how it happens. If you listen to the word of God, it will nourish your soul. You will look to God as you listen to his word. This is the way how God communicates to us. And by the way, did you notice that when God communicates to us through his word, that it has to do something, that has something to do with your mind, what you think? That's where we perceive his words, that's where we process his word. And David confesses here that he has chosen the Lord to be his shepherd. So his attention is on him, the Lord. And when we look at the sentence, then it only makes sense, or would make sense for you and me, if we would also then understand, who is this Lord? Who is this? So when we turn our eyes upon the Lord, and we don't have too much time this morning to explore that, but I give you just some ideas what you might see when you turn your eyes to the Lord and choose him to be your shepherd. We recognize God, and I've mentioned it on other occasions, when we look at him, that he is a joyous being who fills this entire universe. In fact, this entire creation is an act of his joy. You see it at the very end when he looks at this, what all that he created, and said, oh, this is very good. This is very good. God enjoyed what he was doing, and he expressed his joy in making this universe. Today, when you look out of your window, and especially if you're stuck at home, and you look at the blue skies and the sun shining, just spend the time for a moment and see how God might even enjoy that as well, because he made that. And this universe is filled with this kind of God of joy, a God of delight, a God who delighted in what he has done. We also see God as a God of unlimited energy. Some theologians even say that God is energy, and there's nothing wrong with that. But let me explain what that means. See, God has created us in such a way that you and I have a certain amount of energy through which we can do and create what didn't exist. So we have a mind to think. In my mind, I can think up a new invention, and I can put my will to it to see it through, that this invention will happen. And then I can use my body to make it work. Like you may decide today to bake a cake. The cake doesn't exist yet, but it is in your mind. You think it up, and then you use the energies that you have at your disposal, your will, then to go and get the ingredients, put them all together, you use your hands, you mix it up, and you make a cake. So we have this kind of opportunity to use our will and our mind to think something up and then to do something and create something. Now imagine that to be in an infinite way, that God can imagine whatever he wants to, and he can do it. In Psalm 115, it says, actually, God, our God is in heaven. He can do whatever he wants. God, in an infinite way, can do whatever he wants at any time. And when Jesus was on earth, he showed it in so many ways. When he was taking impossible situations and changed them, he changed water into wine. No problem for him. It was at his disposal. He took a small amount of bread and fish, and he multiplied that so that 5,000 people could be fed. God has an exceedingly more power than our needs would ever be. God has exceedingly more power than your need would ever be. Jesus can meet your needs. And his word, now listen very carefully, his word can become that form of energy in us that nourishes us. In Jeremiah, it says, in Jeremiah 15:19, your words were found, and I ate them. And your words became my joy and my delight. Jesus says when he was tempted, men shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. His word is a source of energy that fills your heart and that nourishes your soul. Looking at this world that God created makes us think that this God is and must be a glorious, wonderful God, a God of endless energy, and a God who is full of life. Out of him, in fact, comes all life. The writer of Hebrews says, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. It is a God of ample supply. He has all that you need right now in the middle of this pandemic. He has all that you need that will nourish your soul and gives you peace and can give you peace. Paul, when he was imprisoned and limited in movement and locked up, as some of us may feel at this time, could say the following words in Philippians. I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned, and he talks about the church in Philippi, but you had no opportunity to show it. I'm not saying this because I'm in need, for I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know that what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all things through him who gives me strength. See, God is not worried. God is not in panic. He is not running out of anything. No supply that God will ever run out of. God is beyond rich. He is overflowing with everything that is good and everything that you need at this moment. And nothing delights God more than to sharing what he has with those who seek him. So that's why it's so good to seek God as our shepherd. That's why it would be a good incentive to choose him as our shepherd in those days and not to go anywhere else where we might be disappointed. God gave everything he had for us. He gave his one and only son, so that whoever believed in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. God gave everything. In Romans, Paul says too, God gave Jesus Christ, and why would he not give everything with him? So David, as we have said, decided, the Lord is my shepherd. He is the one that I want to cling to when times get tough. He is the one who provides for my physical needs. He guides me beside fresh waters. He gives me everything to eat. He cares for my spiritual needs. He nourishes my soul. With him, I can go through difficult crisis situations because he will go with me through those dark valleys. And in the end, he says it will pay off. I will have a party. And God will invite me to this party at the end when all is over. Then I can celebrate with him because I have put my trust in God. As those circumstances and as these circumstances in which we're in last for a while, we don't know that. We are not giving in to the spirit of fear, but we hang our hearts onto God. And we choose deliberately to put our minds on him. I will continue to remind us of these aspects in the weeks to come. So what I would like to share with you and what I would like to challenge you to do today and maybe in the days to come, take care of your mind. Take care of your mind and what you're thinking. Don't just fill your mind with the news every day. Let this not be the only source of information that you fill your mind with. Take time every day to focus on God. And can I give you another suggestion? Maybe you take this psalm and pray and read and pray this psalm every day. It might take 2 or 3 minutes, and you might attach some other prayers to that as well. But as you do so, you will direct your mind on God, and you will think about this. The Lord is my shepherd. I have everything that I need. Let us pray. Father, I thank you that in a time like this, when the spirit of scarcity, the spirit of self-preservation and fear is so dominant around us, that we can turn to you, the God of unlimited supplies. Thank you that we have in you the Lord, our God, our shepherd. Thank you that you are not quitting your job of being a shepherd, but that you still shepherd your sheep. And whoever is coming to you in these days with the needs that we have at this moment, we will find in you a listening ear, a God who truly cares, a God who will provide. And Father, I pray that for all of us who are in specific needs at this moment, that this may become a reality. If our hearts and when our hearts are filled with fear, and when we are facing situations that make us very fearful, when we may lose our jobs and when we run out of supplies, Father, then help us not to give in to the spirit of fear, but look at you, our shepherd. Comfort our heart and our soul, and let us experience how your word has the energy to change our mindset. Father, I pray that you will become present in the homes where we are assembled right now. May it be alone by ourselves or as a family. Let this next week be a week where we celebrate your presence and where we can overcome this fear and the spirit of fear with a trust in you. Prove yourself to be again a God, the God who is the shepherd who takes care of us. Thank you again that we had this opportunity to meet together today. I pray that you will go with us through this day and that your blessings will go with us, and that your spirit will comfort us wherever it is needed. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.